Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Evidence for the Truth of Christianity in Light of World Religions podcast. This is episode number 20. However, this is somewhat of a continuation of a previous podcast dealing with world religions. We shifted and changed the title of that podcast because it was rather rough for me, being a Christian, after I finished that book on religion, to continue with that idea. And on top of that, as far as I'm concerned, we have covered all of the religions of the world, but I am a Christian and I do not believe in anything else but Christ. I don't believe in anyone else but Christ. Be that as it may, I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. Today's passage of Holy Scripture is Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, which reads, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Today's quote is from John Calvin. He said, "The creation is quite like a spacious and splendid house, provided and filled with the most exquisite and at the same time the most abundant furnishings. Everything in it tells of God." Our topic for today is titled Creation Apologetics Part 2 from the Encyclopedia of Apologetics. In the beginning, God. Genesis 1:1 is the most important verse in the Holy Bible. But can evangelicals really believe this verse in this age of scientific enlightenment? Consider the acronym SURE in relation to Genesis 1:1. SURE, S, Second Law of Thermodynamics. Second Law of Thermodynamics. U, Expanding Universe. Aura, Radiation Echo. E, End of Infinite Impossibility. S equals the Second Law of Thermodynamics. Our universe is like a flashlight. It is running out of usable energy. According to Robert Jastrow, founder and director of NASA's Goddard Institute of Space Studies and recipient of NASA's Medal for Excellence in Scientific Achievement, the second law of thermodynamics applied to the cosmos indicates the universe is running down like a clock. If it is running down, there must be a time when it was fully wound up. The second law of thermodynamics demonstrates that an eternal universe would have run out of energy by now or reached a state of total disorder. Because it has not, it must have had a beginning. The second law of thermodynamics is the first line of scientific evidence supporting Genesis 1:1. U, Expanding Universe. In 1929, astronomer Edwin Hubble discovered that light from distant galaxies appears to be redder than it should. Hubble was led to the conclusion that the light is redder because the universe is growing apart it is expanding from an initial Big Bang or a creation event. This cosmological observation led Robert Jastrow to say, now both theory and observation pointed to an expanding universe and a beginning time. If time were reversed, the universe would collapse back into nothing. The universe is not expanding into empty space. It is expanding and creating space. There was no space before the creation event. Rather than disproving creation, the Big Bang theory reinforces the idea that the universe began at a specific point in time. At a specific point in time. Think about it this way. If we could watch a video recording of the history of the universe in reverse, we would see all matter in the universe collapse back to a point that is mathematically and logically nothing. That is, no space, no matter, no time, no energy, zero. Scientists call this point a singularity because all the known laws of physics collapse. The expanding universe is the second line of scientific evidence supporting Genesis 1:1. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries is coming and we live, we will continue the topic of creation apologetics in our next episode. Today, dear friend, we will continue reading Book 1, Chapter 2 of Mere Christianity by Dr. C.S. Lewis. The reason why your idea of New York can be truer or less true than mine is that New York is a real place, existing quite apart from what either of us thinks. If when each of us said New York, each meant merely the town I'm imagining in my own head, how could one of us have truer ideas than the other? There would be no question of truth or falsehood at all. In the same way, if the rule of decent behavior meant simply whatever each nation happens to approve, there would be no sense in saying that any one nation had never been more correct in its approval than any other. No sense in saying that the world could ever grow morally better or morally worse. I conclude then that though the differences between people's ideas of decent behavior often make you suspect that there is no real natural law of behavior at all, yet the things we are bound to think about these differences really prove just the opposite. But one word before I end. I have met people who exaggerate the differences because they have not distinguished between differences of morality and differences of belief about facts. For example, one man said to me, 300 years ago, people in England were putting witches to death. Was that what you call the rule of human nature or right conduct? But surely the reason we do not execute witches is that we do not believe there are such things. If we did, if we really thought that there were people going about who had sold themselves to the devil and received supernatural powers from him in return and were using these powers to kill their neighbors or drive them mad or bring bad weather, surely we would all agree that if anyone deserved the death penalty, then these filthy quislings did. There is no difference of moral principle here. The difference is simply about matter of fact, it may be a great advance in knowledge not to believe in witches. There is no moral advance in not executing them when you do not think they are there. You would not call a man humane for ceasing to set mousetraps if he did so because he believed there were no mice in the house. And dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will begin reading Book 1, Chapter 3 of Mere Christianity in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for this time of learning together, growing together, and learning how to defend the faith even better. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to always be able to give an answer when people have questions regarding our faith in you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that they would come to know your Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, in closing, I would like to say that even though we are covering many religious belief systems in this podcast, there is only one way of truly being cleansed of your sins, and only one way that you can be guaranteed an eternal home in heaven with God. That way is through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. If you do not yet believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior yet, may I encourage you to trust him as your Savior today. Here is how. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, dear friend, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, this is bad news, but let me say quickly, I have some good news for you. His name is Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, may God richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Understanding World Religions podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we're using, Understanding World Religions in 15 Minutes a Day, by Gary R. Morgan. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at understandingworldreligionspodcast.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the Understanding World Religions podcast on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcasts, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store.